Holy Spirit is among us as we gather to celebrate this holy day of Pentecost. It is a high holy day in the life of the church when we remember and celebrate the fresh pouring out of the Holy Spirit onto the followers of Jesus. I'm so glad to be with you in this time of worship, and it is my privilege to welcome you, whether you are joining us here in the sanctuary or joining us over live stream. We're glad to see you and glad to be worshiping with you. I would invite everyone who is present to register your attendance. If you're worshiping online, there should be a link in the chat that you can click on. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row, and if you would sign those and pass them down and back again, and that hopefully that will give you a chance to meet someone today sitting on your row. If you're sitting in the middle, once the registration pad gets back to you, if you wouldn't mind tearing out the sheets that have been filled in and placing them on top, that's a great help to our volunteers after the service. I love Pentecost. It is the birthday of the church. It is a day that through our music, through our prayers, through all that we do and say, we are inviting the Holy Spirit into our lives and into our world. And our children in Sunday school have made this space particularly vibrant for us this morning. They are the ones who did these doves and the flames that are along the columns. And we are grateful to you all for helping us experience Pentecost in a special way. As we continue through the summer, there are lots of announcements. There are many that are in your bulletin this morning. As always, our Friday e-newsletter is full of information about things going on in the life of the church. There's information in the bulletin on how to sign up for that email if you don't have it already. We did want to let you know that our youth landed safely in Alaska for their mission trip, and we're already seeing images of the experiences that they're having there. And so we continue to keep that group in our prayers as they experience Christ and share Christ's love with those in Alaska. A reminder, finally, for Vacation Bible School. If you have a child you'd like to register, there's the link printed in the bulletin for you to do that. Or if you'd like to volunteer, there are ways to do that as well. It's a great community event for us as a congregation, so we hope you'll join us. But now let us open our hearts, our minds, our ears, our eyes to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit once again on this day of Pentecost.
Let us sing a new song of worship. God's Spirit was revealed in flaming glory. May Pentecost power and comfort flow. Let us sing a new song of worship. God's Spirit is moving in our midst, calling us, nudging us, inviting us to be more holy. Let us confess our sins together this day that we might be reconciled to God and to one another and empowered for the living of our faith. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name
of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. If you're worshiping with us online this morning, you may do that in the chat or by sharing those greetings with people that are near to you. And those of you in the sanctuary may share these greetings in whatever way is most comfortable for you. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the New Testament, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one of them heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I shall show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I want to invite any children who are here in the sanctuary to come and meet me up here. Since it's Communion Sunday, this part's closed, so we have to go around here and come up this way. And if you're worshiping at home, just get a little closer to your screens, and we're glad to see you. Yeah, come on around this way. Hello, Penelope and CJ. Come on up. Come on up. Yeah, glad to see you. Yay. Okay. Have a seat. Welcome, welcome. Well, as I mentioned in the announcements this morning, today is a really special day. It is the birthday of the church, and Mr. Brandon just read a story about how Jesus' followers were all together in a room. There were about 120 of them. And we have in this room more than 120 people, but you know, just a little bit more than that. And then the Holy Spirit came and filled all of them, and they started speaking in all these different languages. So to get a sense of what that might have sounded like, I'm going to get everybody in the room to participate with me. Can we get them to do that? I think we can. Okay. So everybody who's here, when I count down to three and say go, I want you to say, "My name is..." and say your name. "I was born in," and say the city, "and my favorite food is." So, for example, I will say, My name is Carol. I was born in Union City, Tennessee, and my favorite food is pizza burgers. I'll explain later. Okay, ready? I'm going to turn off my microphone. We're going to listen, y'all, to what it might have sounded like when 120 people were all speaking about God in different languages. Ready? 3, 2, 1, go. Now, I didn't really understand much of that, did you? That was a lot of noise. You were born in Nashville, Tennessee, like a lot of people here.
Pizza.
Pizza, yum. Well, one of the really cool things that happened on that day of Pentecost with all those people talking is that there were some people who could hear them and were listening. And they heard about wonderful things that God did. And that just reminds me that the Holy Spirit is there to help us understand more about God. And one thing we get to do is listen, and listen carefully for God in our lives. Let's pray together. Gracious God, sometimes the world feels noisy, but you're always loving us, and you're always wanting to show us that love. So help us to see, help us to listen, help us to pray and watch for you so that we'll see all of those wonderful signs you're showing us of how much you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you all so much for listening. And if you're 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie to Children's Church. And if you're older than that, you can return to sit with family or friends. I forgot I'm coming down here. These beautiful Ebenezers. And our beautiful flowers today. As I was sharing with the children, there was a wondrous thing that happened on the day of Pentecost over 2,000 years ago. The followers of Jesus, and Luke does tell us in the first chapter of Acts, there were about 120 of them, were gathered in the upper room together, waiting. When Jesus ascended to return to the Father, he said to them, "Stay in Jerusalem and wait until you receive a sign from me." So they had been waiting and praying in Jerusalem together, and the day of Pentecost came. And Pentecost was a Jewish festival, so there were a lot of devout Jews from all of the nations of the known world there in Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. And as those 120 were gathered on that day, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them and filled each and every one of them. And all of them began to speak in languages that they'd never learned on their own, all the languages of the earth. There are all sorts of wonders and miracles happening on that day of Pentecost. The first miracle, I think, is that these 120 very ordinary people were suddenly preaching the gospel in languages they didn't even know. These 120 people were most likely from Galilee. They were ones who had followed Jesus from Galilee to Jerusalem. They would have been considered country bumpkins by the city folk of Jerusalem. Many of them, if not all of them, were uneducated, illiterate. There were women among them as well as men. There were rich and poor, maybe even some who were enslaved. We know that the 11 apostles were there. We also know, because Luke tells us in other places, that there were women like Mary Magdalene and Jesus' mother Mary and Joanna who were there. But I have to wonder if Bartimaeus, that blind man who was begging on the side of the street, followed Jesus all the way to Jerusalem. Maybe Zacchaeus was there. Maybe the woman who'd been bent over in the synagogue and healed by Jesus made her way there as well. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. So one of the miracles of Pentecost is that the Holy Spirit can and will and does speak through anybody. It's not about the qualifications of the vessel. It's the power of the Spirit to speak. Another miracle that happened that day is that it was Peter who stood up and preached. Peter, who, when he first met Jesus, said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Peter, who was a, A fisherman with calloused hands, probably never spent a day in school in his life. Peter, who was impulsive and stepped out when nobody else would and often made mistakes. Peter, who had denied Jesus 3 times the night Jesus was arrested. And yet here we see this transformation. We see the Holy Spirit working through this broken and flawed man to preach the most powerful sermon and bring thousands of people into faith in Christ. But there's another miracle that happened on Pentecost that really drew my attention this year for some reason. The fact that there were people milling around on the streets of Jerusalem who listened and who heard through these people about the mighty works of God and who came to faith in Christ because of their witness. There were people who stopped and listened. Now, there were some who didn't. We heard in the story there were some who saw all of this happening and said, they must be drunk. They've been drinking new wine. They scoffed at them and walked away. I wonder if they looked at these Galileans from the back country and thought, what in the world is going on with these people? It certainly can't be an act of God, not with those people. But there were some who listened. And they asked themselves, how is it that we hear in our own languages? And that's my question too. How is it that they heard? What gave them the wisdom to stop and listen? And I ask myself, as I hear this story once again, if I had been there, would I have listened? Would I be more inclined to write off those people because of what I think of them? Or would I be willing to open my ears and open my hearts and believe that God might speak through anybody? That's the invitation I hear on this Pentecost Sunday in 2022. Because I think in our world today, we are not very good listeners. We don't see many examples of people who are willing to stop and listen and make room for someone else's voice, someone else's experience, someone else's language, someone else's way of talking about and sharing their experiences of God's mighty deeds and God's great grace. We are a society, it seems, of talkers. And I say that as I stand up here talking. Our social media trains us to have something to say about everything. I'm going to put out a tweet about that. I'm going to post it on Facebook. When I'm just going to put my opinion out there. And sometimes there's dialogue to follow, but often that dialogue doesn't involve much listening. Or we turn on the news and we watch these experts sit around a table and they debate with each other and they argue over each other and nobody's listening. We get in our minds that those people over there cannot have anything worth listening to. And certainly God couldn't speak through them, or him, or her. And so we close our ears. And I wonder if we miss what the Holy Spirit is doing and saying because we're not listening. I can share two very small examples from my own life, that probably not the most profound, but just the ones that bubbled up for me as I pondered this passage this week. Some of you know that I first heard the call to ministry when I was a sophomore in college. I'd never really thought about it before until someone in my life said these words, "I think you should be a minister." And as soon as she said it, my ears were burning. It felt like God was saying this to me, and it resonated with me, and I knew deep in my soul that it was true. Never mind that the person who said it to me was an atheist who's not a big fan of organized religion. My roommate at the time. And yet God spoke to me through her. And we laughed about that later, and she was like, "Ooh, I didn't know that was happening. I didn't know God would use me." But apparently God used her as the messenger for that in my life. Just a few years ago, I went to a funeral of a family member, and it was in a church of another denomination with very different theology from our Wesleyan theology. It's not a church that would allow me to preach. But I wanted to be part of this service and support my friend and family and all of that. And I went in with a bad attitude, thinking there is just no way that this pastor up there is going to say anything that I need to hear, but I'm here to support the others. And lo and behold, if that preacher did not speak right into my soul. I was going through something in my life, and these words that came out of his mouth were meant for me, or they felt like they were. I can only imagine there are lots of people who wouldn't really want to listen to me either. But I would pray that somehow the flawed vessel that I am, that the Spirit might work through me anyway. The challenge I hear in this story, the invitation I hear on this Pentecost day, is to be willing to listen, to have the courage to listen. I don't know why it's so hard sometimes for people to listen to each other as we get in our polarized camps and our tribes. And I told the 845 service, a new word came to me this week. We're in our opinion poles, P-O-L-E-S, like the North Pole and the South Pole. We're so far from each other. It's as if I listen to you, I might lose ground. I might lose power. I might lose the game. I have an idea for Congress. I think I'm going to write, "Dear Congress," and see if someone listens to me. They won't. But what if someone brought a bill before the Congress and nobody knew who sponsored it? And they just looked at the bill based on its own merits. What would it look like if we, as the people of God, were those who listened well and listened deeply and listened first? What if we were so grounded in God's love and our own belovedness and the whole truth that God has the world in God's hands, that we could listen and not be afraid of what we might hear or how we might change? Those people on the day of Pentecost had the courage and wisdom to listen, and they were changed. May we open our hearts, our eyes, our lives, and our ears to hear the Holy Spirit, no matter who is speaking. Amen.
As a response of faith to all that we have heard and read and seen this morning, will you rise in body or spirit as we affirm our faith? Using number 883, a statement of faith of the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and to make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life and death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website, or if you're here in the sanctuary, you have some gray prayer cards in the pew rack in front of you. Simply put that filled out prayer card in the offering plate as it passes by, and we will pray for those together on Monday. Today we have news of many deaths and memorial services to share. Our community grieves in Christian sympathy alongside the family of Mike Allen Irwin, who passed away on May 18th. Services were held May 31st at the West Harpeth Funeral Home. Among his survivors is his wife, West End member Ann Lynn Walker Irwin. Dave and Heather Goodridge and their family are mourning the death of Dave's mother, Susan Goodridge, who passed away on May 20th in Hilton Head, South Carolina. She is survived also by her grandchildren, Wright and Margot Goodridge. Brooke Ackerley and her family are mourning the death of her brother, Peter Whitlock Ackerley, who passed away on May 23rd in Japan. Services were held there on May 31st. Sally Norton and her family are mourning the death of her brother, Dr. Walter Bill Huey King Jr., who passed away on May 25th. Services were held in Lookout Mountain, Tennessee on Saturday, June 4th. Ruth Myers Nance Motfert, wife of former senior pastor Russ Motfert, passed away in Charlotte, North Carolina on Tuesday, May 31st. Services were held on June 4th at Providence UMC in Charlotte. And lastly, a memorial service for Martha Ann Likens, who passed away on May 27th, will be held this Saturday, June 11th at 2 p.m. in the sanctuary. Visitation in Reed Hall will precede the service beginning at 1 p.m. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God, who wants us to speak and to understand one another, God of mystery, God of wind, of fire, of surprise. Sometimes it feels as if we're saying the same thing over and over again and not getting anywhere, wondering if we're even speaking the same language. Bring us understanding. Bring us fresh winds of your spirit. Light a spark so that we can be consumed by your love and hope for our lives. While we worship here this morning joyfully, there are communities grieving heavy losses. Losses of loved ones from war, mass shootings, and acts of terror. Be with them in their grief. Give us all the will and wisdom to find pathways towards peace and healing. Help us to be a friend to the lonely. Remind us to visit the sick. And remember those who've gone on to be with you in glory. Allow us to remember the example of your Son as we interact with the other, to embrace when others would exclude, to stand on the side of the oppressed, to walk the path of nonviolent resistance to unjust systems, and to always show the love of God in all that we do. God, this morning we celebrate love in all of its forms, in all of its expressions and relationships and identities. For when we truly love, we echo the love you first showed us, no matter whom we love. God, I pray for the day when all couples in loving relationships feel safe to love out loud without fear of physical, spiritual, or emotional violence. God, in these next few moments of silence, we give space for the yearnings of our hearts to be made known to you. We praise you for who you are, God, for the glory of the sunshine, for the hearing of our prayers, for the gathering of us together this day. Strengthen us, build us up, and send us out from this place to do your will, as we carry the message and fire from this place to show the world your amazing love. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who showed us love until the very end. Amen. And now, as we prepare to give our tithes and our offerings, we recognize that everyone is in a different financial situation, so that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and feel led. And for those of you who are worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give via the options that are on the screen or in the chat. Now let us offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right, and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Holy God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. When nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Be seated. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. At his baptism in the Jordan, your Spirit descended upon him and declared him your beloved Son. With your Spirit upon him, he went into the wilderness and turned away from temptation to sin. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always, baptizing us with the Holy Spirit and with fire, as on the day of Pentecost. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, and broke the bread, then gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us who are gathered, and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
And by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Confidence of the children of God, let us pray together the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
As the many grains are gathered together in one loaf, we who are many and diverse are gathered together in one body, the body of Christ. And as the grapes are gathered into one cup, we share in the one cup of salvation, the cup of grace. The table is now set. The invitations have been sent to all. Everyone is welcome at this table. This is not the table of the United Methodist Church or of West End. It is the table of Jesus Christ, and he is our host. So everyone who is here and everyone who is not here is welcome at the table. If this is your first time to receive communion in this particular place, however, I want to give you a few instructions on what to expect. Our choir will be served first, coming down to the altar rails, followed by those in the transept and the balcony, and then the rest of us in the nave will be invited to come forward down the center aisle. You can kneel at the altar rails if you're able, and if you'll have your hands open, that will let our servers know you have yet to be served. After receiving the elements, by the way, the bread is all gluten-free. After receiving those elements, you're welcome to stay in prayer as long as you would like. When we come forward, we have an opportunity to make a gift to one of the mission partners that we work with in our congregation. And this month's communion offering will go toward prison ministry. We use this fund to provide holiday meals for those on death row and for those in medium security units at Riverbend in Nashville. We use it to help individuals with expenses as they make the transition from incarceration into life in the community and to support prison ministries in other ways. So if you'd like to place a gift in the offering plates as you come forward, we invite you to do that. And now it's time for us to receive and to trust that through these gifts, the Holy Spirit fills us once again. Come to the table. having received anew the gift of the Spirit in these gifts of bread and the cup, I invite you to stand in body or in spirit and join with me in giving thanks. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things.
Amen. The Holy Spirit has been set loose in the world. The Holy Spirit is within you. The Holy Spirit takes you from who you are to who God is calling you to be out in the world. So let us go on that journey together, singing the song of Pentecost. Amen.